In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. There's that famous saying that says, behind every great man there is... There is a woman. But no one asks, what's behind every great woman? What's behind every great woman? Men, can you tell us? What's the secret behind every great woman? What's the secret behind every great woman? Guys, had the gash min fuq, like life of prayer. That is true. Behind every great woman, there is a deep and inner life of prayer. Just try to look back and see every great woman you've seen, you've known in your life. You will see a strong prayer life that supports not only that woman, but this woman can support men and great men and can bring great men out of this inner life of prayer, full of God. Think that the great people are men. The greatest person in history, human being, is the mother of God, the Theotokos, Saint Mary. And she was a woman of prayer. Without knowing anything about her life, just I want you to look at her prayer today with Elizabeth. Can you believe that this is a spontaneous prayer of a 12-year-old girl? Just listen to this prayer. A spontaneous prayer. She's not reading this prayer from anything. No one told her this prayer before. She didn't prepare this prayer. She said this prayer by the Holy Spirit. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maiden servant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. How many requests in this prayer? How many things did she ask God in this prayer? Nothing. It's full of praise. Actually, they call it the praise of Saint Mary. It's spontaneous. It's a personal thing. Came out of the heart without anything. That tells you what's deep down in the heart is prayer. Is a connection with God that makes these words very simple. When you have a connection, when you have a relationship with someone, you don't have to prepare the words. Compare this prayer to our prayers. How much time do we need to prepare before talking to someone? Especially when we're not used to this person. But if you're used to someone, the words will come out naturally and genuinely. That's what we were missing in our prayer. When I look at the prayer of Saint Mary, I feel this little that I don't know how to pray. This prayer actually is a biblical prayer. Most of this prayer is taken from the prayer of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, in the Old Testament. I don't want to compare, but I'll give you this as an assignment. Go and compare both of them. They're very similar. As if she memorized the prayers. As if the prayers memorized the scripture. Her knowledge of the word of God at 12 years of age is just an amazing thing. This prayer also, when you look at it, it's God-focused prayer and praise. When we look at our prayers, it's me-based or me-focused. that God would do things to me. She didn't ask anything. She said that God looked at my humility and gave me something that I don't deserve. Because He's great. Not because I am great, but because He's great. He's wonderful. He's amazing. She focused on Him. She was not focusing on herself. And it's also a very humble prayer. She said so many things that shows that it's coming from a humble heart. And now, this is the life of Saint Mary. But how about your life? How about your life? What is the source of strength in your life? Is it your prayer? Or it's your mind? Your logic? Your thinking? This is the secret behind the greatness of Saint Mary. This is something natural coming out of the heart. How is your prayer life? Very routine? Words don't come out? How much of this prayer can we come up with? 20%? 10%? Of such prayer? It's very important to see what is our prayer life. And the reason why I mentioned the word prayer life, because this is actually what the fathers used to call prayer. They never said prayer on its own, but they said prayer life. And I'll tell you the secret behind that. The thing is, if we separate prayer from our life, our prayer will never improve. And we will not grow in our spiritual life and in our prayer at all. Because prayer is part of our life. The same our lifestyle, our prayer will be. The way we're thinking, the way we're dealing with things, the way we're organized or not organized, that's the same will be with our prayer. Let me give you an example. It's not the best example ever, but it is true. You know, prayer is like diet. Have you ever tried to go on a diet? I think no one haven't tried to go on a diet and maybe failed once or twice or 10 times, you know. You know why? Because a lot of people, when they diet, they separate diet from their life. They focus on diet, but they live the same lifestyle. But if you really want to go on diet, you need to change your lifestyle. A lot of habits you need to change. You need to go on and not focusing on food alone, but, you know, maybe doing more exercise, and the time you eat and the time you sleep, it's the schedule of the day. Prayer life is the same. It's part of your life. Your life is not organized, you will never have a good prayer. Don't separate prayer from your life. It's called life of prayer or prayer life. The people who went with us to Africa, or anyone who went have been to Africa before, when we come from there, before we come from there, when we are there, last trip that we went was 20 people, I promise you, every single prayer meeting, the bishop had to stop the prayer meeting because it's taking too long. Because everyone wants to pray, and there is no time for everyone to pray. I promise you, this happened. Every single prayer, there isn't a time when we were silent, and no one is willing to pray. The bishop had to cut it so we can finish our schedule. And you don't prepare prayers. It's like I'm telling any one of you, start right now and pray, you know, say a prayer now. Of course, if I tell you that, some people may have a heart attack or something and cannot say any word. But over there, it was different. And anyone is willing to pray at any time. It's very easily coming out genuinely. Why? Because our lifestyle was changed. We lived a completely different lifestyle. Prayer being... Prayer being a priority a major priority, actually the main priority of the trip, then things change and prayer become an enjoyable thing. As I said, prayer is a life and it's a lifestyle. Your life of prayer will not improve by hearing a sermon about prayer, but actually by starting and praying and experiencing that and tasting the Lord, by starting doing it, not waiting until things improve or your spiritual life improve or things change. It will not change. Start praying and start changing your lifestyle. And intentionally, I wanted to say these words before the beginning of the new year. Because if there is anything good, if I want to give you a good one advice to do during next year, the best thing you can ever do next year is to grow in your prayer life, to change in your prayer life, to be a prayerful person. Do you think if you die today, what are we going to say about you? Are you a man of prayer or a woman of prayer or just intelligent man or woman or a successful one? Cannot quench your thirst by looking at people drinking. But you have to drink yourself. You have to taste. You have to dig in. Unfortunately, prayer is a lot of work. It has a lot of training and a lot of learning. I will be lying to you if I tell you life of prayer is very easy. Piece of cake. No. Maybe if you want to try to fast, it's easy to fast. You know what to do? Stop eating. Don't eat anything. You're fasting. That's it. But life of prayer is much more. It takes a lot of work. Why? Because it's something great, something very precious. Because you own the ear of God when you have a good prayer life. You move the hands that move the entire world. It's a lot of power right there. So do you think that this will come easily? Anyone can pray, but not everyone can live a life of prayer. Children can pray, best prayers. But living a life of prayer needs some learning and training in order to get the secret of the powerful life. One of the fathers said that it may take you some time or maybe years to get a virtue. But the life of prayer, you will have to struggle with it for the rest of your life. Prayer is the virtue that you will never have to stop trying and putting effort and putting energy in it. And maybe this is the problem why we don't have a stronger prayerful life, because we don't want to put energy in it. Want it easy. Want something in a second, in a moment, open, ready-made, microwavable meals and things like this. Doesn't work this way with prayers. It doesn't work this way. There is no fast food in prayer. Actually, there is. There is fast food in prayer. But you guess what's going to happen if you eat all the time that fast food and TV dinners or whatever they call it? What's going to happen? You'll not live a healthy life. That's first of all. Second is, you're going to hate food. Right? If you keep eating this junk food forever, junk food, it's good to eat every now and then. But if you eat it all the time, ask anyone who's always in the street eating junk food all the time. They hate it. In the end, then they get sick. And that's why we hate prayer. Because it's the same thing. It doesn't change. So some things need to change in our habits, in our prayer life. in our life in general, we need to develop some habits to improve our prayer life. The first thing that I want to talk about is we need to understand prayer. Don't take this lightly, because a lot of us don't know what prayer really is. No matter how many years we have been in a church or Christian or praying, the fact that we cannot pray such a prayer like the Mother of God, then it means that we don't know what prayer really is. We don't know it. Or maybe we know it by the head, but we don't know how to practice that. So we need to understand, we need to learn, we need to see example of that. First thing that we need to learn about prayer is that prayer is something that I need, and it's not a duty. Unfortunately, we took this from our culture and we give it to generation after generation, that prayer is a duty. You know what is the translation of duty in Arabic? When I tell you what is the translation, you know where exactly we got this from. What is the translation of duty? Fard. Fard. That's a translation. Or بلاش translation of duty. Translation بتاعت فرد إيه؟ Duty. Actually, they call it the duty of prayer. It's not a duty. That's not what our Lord taught us. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ taught us about prayer. He said, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Communicate with your Heavenly Father. Just close the door between you and Him and speak to your Father. They don't know that. Because that's why the prayer is duty, but for us it's not a duty. It's a connection. It's a son-father relationship or father-daughter relationship. That is prayer. That is the connection of prayer. And these are simple words. But I want you to examine your prayers. Are you standing in the presence of your Heavenly Father when you pray? Or you're doing your duty? We have need for prayer. I need your Lordship. That's what we pray in the Gregorian liturgy. You have no need for my servitude. God has nothing to do with our prayers. What is God going to do with our prayers? Think about it. The words. He has better voices. He has better words from the angels. But He's not looking for the words. He is looking for the relationship. That is the life of prayer. The second myth about prayer, and that's why we don't understand what prayer is, and the most important problem of prayer is we don't have time for prayer. And that is a fact. Because we are doing a lot of things. But Jesus said something very nice. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do a lot of things without Jesus. But there will be useless in the end. Maybe fruitless in the end. How much time you invest in a relationship, and after a couple of years, it's gone. Where is the investment? Where is the time you spent with people? Where is the help you gave? You give them priority over God. Where are they now? They're gone. People put their effort and their investment in a job or an investment or whatever business. After a couple of years, it's not there. Then, look at this. Without me, you can do nothing. You can do a lot of things. And you can be very busy. But in the end, there is no use for all this, as the book of Ecclesiastes says. But those who give priority to God, and knowing that without Him, without my connection with Him, there is nothing good I will do, I can never forget this. It was a visiting bishop when I was back in Canada, was visiting, and he asked me about a certain girl. And I told him she doesn't come to church. And finally she came to meet him. And then he asked her a question. Do you pray? Instead of saying, yani, good morning or how are you or something like this. Do you pray? She says, no, my life prayer is very bad. She says, then you are not doing anything good. You have nothing good in your life. I couldn't believe. I thought this is very harsh. When you think about it, we're doing a lot of things, but maybe they're not good things. I don't want to say they're bad things, but maybe idle things that will bring no fruits in the end. It's a misunderstanding of what prayer really is. Prayer is something that we need to learn. We need to sharpen our prayer. Sharpening the prayer is learning how other people pray, and you will pray. This is what the disciples did. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, after he finished praying, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Jesus prayed apparently an amazing prayer. And one of the disciples said, Lord, I want to pray prayer like this. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. Prayer is something that we learn, believe it or not. We need to read about prayer. We need to read the Word of God about prayer. We need to see how people are praying in order to learn from people and from their prayer. We need to see how people connect with God. Someone advised me when we were getting our second child. He said, watch out. The first child, you raise him the way you want. But the second one, guess who is raising him? His older brother. So the way the older brother is dealing with you, respecting you, or whatever the dealing with you, the second will get it from him. Why? Because he will see how's the communication and he will imitate the same. Same thing. We imitate our brothers and sisters who are praying. We need to learn from other people how they relate to God. Prayer of the righteous man avails much. We need to learn from people who are praying. If you pray with a child, you will learn. If you pray with a peer, you will learn how to pray. But same as iron sharpens iron, prayers sharpen prayers. If you never pray with people, your prayer life will not grow, will stay the same forever. Some people, their 40s, 50s, whatever, when they pray a prayer, you feel like there is a Sunday school child in 5th grade or 4th grade is praying. Why? Because this is the last time he prayed with people in Sunday school when he was in 3rd or 4th grade. Never prayed with anyone after that. So it's something that we learn. The Lord wants to do that. It's a verse in the Bible. Lord, teach us to pray. The fathers, the monks, used to travel miles and miles on their feet in order to just learn from other people wisdom and the way of prayer. Practically speaking for you, the best way to learn prayer and to grow in the life of prayer and to sharpen your prayer with others is in your small group. Again, I'm stressing on the issue of small groups, because this is where you can pray with people. And if you're in a small group, take this advice from me. All small groups are here. At the end, let everyone in a small group pray a short prayer, even if it's one sentence. See how people relate to their Heavenly Father and learn from that. We need to sharpen our prayers through such a thing. And if you're not a small group, then how are you going to sharpen your prayer? You need to be in a prayer group. You need to pray with people. There is the communal prayer the church is teaching us. But there is also the smaller level prayer which people gather in their houses in the book of Acts daily in order to pray without ceasing all the time. They were in one accord praying all the time. We need that life of prayer in order to grow in our prayer life. Last thing I will say, go back to the spiritual, to the meal, because prayer is your spiritual meal. If you eat the same meal every single day, even if it's the best meal, not a junk food, the best meal, and you eat it every single day for years, what's going to happen? You'll get sick, of course, but mostly you're going to hate this food. And I don't want to say this word. It sounds awful, but we hate prayer. We don't want to say that. We don't want to admit that. But we hate prayer. Why? Because stuff, it's hard, it's the same thing. Nothing new. It's the same. It's old. God is fresh every single day. Listen to this. That's what it said about God. That his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Every morning God is new. His compassion, his mercies, his character, his beauty, his dealings with us are new every single day. The old rotten routine prayer kills prayer life and makes prayer something awful that we don't want. How to freshen up our prayer? There is no other way other than the Word of God. And you can see from the prayer of the Theotokos, St. Mary, is every single sentence is quoted from the Old Testament. Every single one. Go, and if you have Bible with references, go, you will see a reference for every single verse from the Old Testament. She was reading. And the more you're reading, the more you're knowing about God, the more you're growing, the more you're experiencing him. You see him differently every single day. You're dealing with him differently every single day. That's how we freshen up our prayer. If you are slacking in the Word of God, in your Bible reading, or in your quiet time, the prayer will be rotten, will be old, never be new. Need to memorize parts of the Word of God in order to know how to pray and to use the Word of God in prayer. Conclusion, I will say that we are very anemic spiritually because of the lack of prayer. We are very anemic spiritually because of the lack of prayer. We are not rich. Actually, God wants us to be fat spiritually. Going against the diet, but God wants us to be fat spiritually. And I can, you know, I didn't prepare these verses, but I can get you so many verses in the Old Testament, in the Psalms. The mountain of God is full of fatness. What? Mountain of God, prayer. It's fatness, richness of God, full of God, full of new life, full of his presence. Where is that in our life? We pray, but barely to survive, to live. That's not what God wants. He wants us to live rich. We barely, the prayer that we pray is just there to stop us from sinning. Is that what God wants? No, he wants to give us the life of holiness, life of virtue, life consecration, life of intercession for people. We're still praying for ourselves. We need to pray for other people, the family, the church, the whole world. When are we going to focus our prayer for all these people? It's when we're full of the life of prayer, not only for ourselves, but for all people around us. Jesus spoke about unceasing prayer and how men ought to pray without ceasing. St. Paul spoke about the same thing. Praying continuously, unceasingly. Where are we from this life of prayer? Last word is we need to confess this sin. It is a sin. how we are slacking in prayer. We take it easy, but it's not an easy thing. It is a sin how we are slacking in prayer. We need to confess. We need to repent for that. We need to ask God for forgiveness so God may give us power and strength and to teach us how to pray and to grow in the life of prayer. Before we get into 2007, if you want 2007 to be a special year, different than the rest of your life, then pray more. Change your prayer life. Even if you have to change your entire life, your schedule, your habits, but grow in the life of prayer. If there is one advice that I want to give you for 2007, it's that. Prepare for that. Pray for that. Repent for that before we start this new year, that we become prayer for people and not slack on prayer. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.